Today is March the 22nd, 1975, and Pauline Moore Fricks wants to tell some of her early experiences in childhood.
When I was a little girl, about preschool, we had to do a washing down and down in a spring, had a spring branch, and we had to go down there and fill up the big old wash pot full of water, and fill about four or five big old tubs full of water, wooden tubs. And we had to dip it up out of the spring, and we had to cut the wood and build up the fire and make the water boiling and put a big old batch of homemade soap in it. And so Joe, my sister Josephine, well, she and I went down there that day, and we were supposed to do all that work before the others began to wash it. So I did, I thought I'd done enough, and so there's a big old dogwood tree there, and great big, and it's in bloom, and it had a lot of blossoms on it. And all pretty and everything, and long limbs sticking out, and I got mad, and I said, I'm not working no more, so I climbed that old dogwood tree. And she had that axe, and Joe had that axe, and she said, come down from there and help me finish this work. And I said, I'm not going to do it, because I've done enough. And she kept on asking me, she said, you better come down, I'm going to do something to you if you don't. And I said, I don't care what you do. So she took the axe, and she said, I'm going to cut this tree down. It's going to fall down, it's going to kill you. So she comes cutting on the tree and cutting and cutting, and after a while she said, you're going to come down? I said, no, I'm not going to come down. So she cut some more, and she said, you're coming down now? And I said, no. She said, if you come down, if that tree falls on you, it's going to kill you. And I said, I don't care, I'm not going to work no more. So she kept on cutting, and after a while the tree it's falling. And so it scared her, and so she caught it with them. Thought she could catch it and hold my weight up the tree too, but she couldn't. And the tree fell and had big limbs, and it didn't hurt me. The limbs caught it, and she hurt her back by lifting it up. So she's the one that got hurt in the meantime. And so then after that, I got down. So she had finished I had to help her then finish filling up the pot and washing and doing all, fixing it so they could do, the big sisters could do the washing. So we got it all fixed. And when she got to the house, she had to go to bed because her back was hurting. And she said she's going to tell on me, and said my mother would whip me, and I said she'd not want to whip me, no such a thing, because I did most of the work after the tree fell with me. So she didn't tell, and so then we went on then and did the washing. So every week that we had to do that, they had a great big old wooden block and all that sitting there, and a stick, a big battling stick, we called it. It looked like a big old somewhere that you played ball with, baseball bat. So we'd have to get that old battling stick, and we'd have to beat the clothes, beat them, one by one, and put them into that boiling pot of boiling water. And there's another sister standing there, and we'd put one in there and let it come to a boil, and she'd take it out and put it in the one range water. So we'd beat them and battle. We called it a battling block, so we'd battle them and beat them. Time we got there, we'd be just plumb wet with the water slush out on us and all that soap. And everything like that. So we had just sheets after sheets to wash and boil, and so they hung all of them out in the, had them hanging on the brush, and they had the clotheslines out, and they hung all the clotheslines, sheets and everything out on the clotheslines. And we said we'd get into that water and take a bath, and jump into that branch and take a bath, so we all get in our underwear. My oldest sister was about 16, 17 years old, 16 I think. And so she had a boyfriend there, and so by the time all of us got in our underwear and got into that water, well, here he come riding along, her boyfriend. And so we wouldn't get out because we were on a horse. And so we couldn't get out, and he laughed and laughed. He wouldn't leave. He just stayed there and he was going to sit there all day and see how long we could stay in that water. So we stayed until finally he left and got tired of us and left. And so who he was a law. He was one of the laws then, and he had a great big horse and big saddle, pretty big saddle, and a great big hat on and spurs and everything like that. And he'd go around and help arrest people. And so us little kids were afraid of him because we thought he was a law. Well, he could arrest us, but he claimed my oldest sister for his girlfriend, so she wouldn't marry him on account of he had a mother. You know, he's taking care of his mother. And so she wouldn't marry him. He wanted to marry him, so she wouldn't do it because she'd have to help take care of that mother, she thought. So she wouldn't have him, so she told him she wouldn't. And so there's another guy come along. He's kind of a a guy fast talking and all of that, and so he begged her in to marry him. So she was a real beautiful girl, and she had long hair and everything like that, and she just real beauty, and had a pretty voice, and she could sing and everything like that. So then he begged her in to marry him, and so she married him, and he took her then, her trunk and her things, and went to his home, and lo and behold, if he didn't have an old mother that she had to wait on, and she had to wait on that old mother and do all the stuff. And
what was his name?
His name was Bill Dorsch, D-O-R-S-C-H. And old Miss Dorsch, his mother, she didn't have no teeth. When she'd chew her nose and chin at meat, and we'd just laugh at her, and so she had a... And she was a mean old woman. She had some old broken dishes, and just broke all the old cracked up dishes. So my sister dropped one of them one day and broke it, an old plate, all cracked up and done turned black in the cracks. And so she dropped one of them and broke it. And so the old woman, I was fussing at her, and she picked up a stick of stove with it and hit the old woman. And the young woman, my sister's husband, was standing in the door there, back of him. He was just laughing with them having a fight. And he thought that was awful funny. And so then the old woman then found her boyfriend, and she married. She married, and she had her husband, and he comes with in the wagon. He got her trunk and her things that she had, and he hauled them off. And she went off and stayed with that old man about 2 weeks, and here he come bringing her back with her all of her things, and said they couldn't get along together. She's so mean. And so finally then, that was the breaking up of her meanness. She's a whole lot better than from that on, and she behaved herself and didn't try to fight no more or anything like that.
I'll cut it off and you tell something later.
And I guess this is the end of this story. You don't have to unless you want me to.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. That's the only one I had to have Joe in it. Okay. And what I have to have it have a date?
No.
When I was a kid. When I was a kid, I was always wanted to follow the big ones. Is that I in it now?
No, you
can't. I'm on it?
On it all the time.
I'm on this? On this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell this story there then. When I was a little kid, I was always wanting to follow the big ones and wanted to go with them. They didn't want me to go because they thought I was too little. And I'd run and follow them anyway. And so one day they whispered around. They had their bonnets under their arm and they were going to slip off from them. And they whispered around. They were going up on a mountain or something to gather some kind of berries. I don't know what it was. So they didn't want me to go, and so they all went, and I followed them, and I kept up with them running, and they run fast as they could, and I kept running, and all of my sisters, a bunch of them, seven of us girls. My mother had seven girls, so the biggest part of them was in that bunch, and so they had, there was a big, going down the mountain, a real big mountain over there, and so there's Rocky Mountain and everything, so there's a big deep ditch there, and the ditch is about 4 or 5 feet wide, but it's really deep. It's about 5 or 6 feet deep, and it's full of rocks because it was dry and there wasn't no water in it. And they told me the ditch was there, but I didn't know it was there. And so they all went running, got ahead of them, and went running and jumped the ditch. And I was coming along behind them, and I saw the ditch, and it was too late to jump it. And I tried to stop it. I was going so fast down that mountain. And I tried to stop, and I couldn't stop, and I tried to sit down, and I couldn't sit down, and so I went on that and saw the ditch, and I thought, well, I didn't see it in time to jump it. You know, you have to see it to jump, or you have to be prepared and have your feet and legs just right so you can make the jump. And I didn't see it in time to jump it, and so I fell in it. And in it I went, and broke my arm, and broke my collarbone, and skinned myself all over, and my face was all skinned, and so... And they hadn't stopped and come back. They couldn't just leave me in that ditch. So they stopped and came back and got me out. And Josephine, my sister, that's Wallace's mother now. And so, I mean, before she died, she's Wallace's mother. So she was the next older than I. So they told her to carry me home. So we had to walk about a mile to get home. And so they had and she was leading me by the hand. I was crying. She's trying to get me to hush, and I couldn't hush. It hurting so bad. And there's an old sheep over there, and he butted people. Every time he'd see him, he'd back off and come just crying at him, you know, and just butt the heck out of him, you know, and we called him the button sheep. And so she said, you better hush crying, old button sheep, and he hears us. He's going to come around. He's going to just butt us off of this ground. And so I just kept crying, and when we got home, My mother, she wasn't able to carry me. A doctor had to come on a horse. There wasn't no horse around. Wasn't no way to get no doctor, and so she wasn't able to go carry me to a place. There's an old gin that's running a gin about a mile across a big old prickly pear patch. There's a path went through there. People could walk, and so there's two neighbor women. They said they'd carry me over there. Said there's an old gray-headed man over there, had long white beard, and said he could set my arm because he could do that kind of a thing. So they carried me one at a time, carried me over there, and me just crying and sitting up and just hurting. Joe, my sister Joe, was following us at the back, and so we got over there, and they were ginning, and they were carrying the cotton up in baskets up there, way up there to gin it. Carried up in baskets, and the old man, he was down keeping books down on the ground, keeping the books on the cotton. They told him about it, and he examined my arm and hurt me worse than I was hurting, if that could be possible. So then he went and got two boards, two old dirty boards laying down there, and put them and spread my arm with those two boards, and got him some old sacks he had there, and he tied them around there and tied the boards on there, tied the spit on there. And they got him another old sack then and put around my neck and around my arm and a sling and put my arm in it so I couldn't move my arm. And so he fixed it, and he said that's the best he could do it. And I was scared of him, and he had long gray beard and long gray hair, and he looked like old Father Time, like old Santa Claus. And I was afraid of him, and there was a lot of men around there working. And so then the two women then carried me back. So this old man, he had some kind of a pills with him, aspirin, I don't know what they had, but he gave me one of them to ease me. And he said to go home now and go to bed and try to get some sleep. He said I ought to send for the doctor, I ought to have the doctor to fix that. And so then I went, they carried me home then one at a time, they carried me home, put me in bed. One of my brothers came in about that time, my oldest brother, on his horse, and so he went, and the doctor lived 10 miles away. And so this brother of mine, he roped his horses all the way there and back 10 miles, his horse went running, and they got the doctor, and the doctor come running on his horse, and so that when he got there, the arm and legs were swollen, so he couldn't reset my arm. And he had to stay all night, and so they went and made him some coffee and cooked him some breakfast and bacon and eggs. He stayed all night, and he set my arm then the next morning, and so then I had to, it was a long time before it healed. And so then Joe said that was my sister. She waited on me and brought me my meals to me and everything like that, and water and all such things like that. And she's the one that did that all of the most of the work. And so she got sick, and she had a fever, and her face got all red, and all of them laughed at her. I said, there you go, turning your face red and making out like you're sick so you can get out of work. And so they laughed at her, and so then they made fun of me because I all hurt. When they catch my mother back turned, they'd laugh at me because I was hurt. And so they said I had no wounds. So I guess that's the end of this story. I mean, my mother's and daddy's children, how many they had in their name. So they had seven girls and three boys. That made 10. And so the oldest boy was named John, and we always called him Johnny. He was the oldest one, and he married Ned Gray. That it? Mm-hmm. He married Ned Gray, and so they had several children. And the oldest boy went into the war, and he got all battered up with shrapnel and stuff like that. And so he finally died, took the TB from it and all that. So then the next one was Martha Jane, and we always called her Matt. And Matt was a real beautiful woman. She had a voice, opera voice, and she could sing. She had long hair, and she was real pretty and everything like that. And so she married, the man that she married was named Doris, Bill, D-O-R-S-C-H, Doris. And she had twins. Little twin boys, and then the next one of the sister, the next sister was named Grace, and Grace married Charles Gray, and they had three boys. And then she died young, died of the pneumonia when she was about 28 around. And she died and left her three sons, and they, one of them living now, and his name is
Harley Gray, and I don't know where he lives. And then the next one was a boy, and his name was Charles, and we called him Charlie. And Charlie always liked to go off from home and everything like that and visit other people and visit around. So when he was 21, he had never been married, and he died when he was 21. And then the next one in line was Molly. Molly, and Molly married John Shipp. And they had a bunch of children. And now some of them dead, some of them living. And the next one is Josephine. And she was older than I, so she married Jim McKeehan. And they had 7 girls and 6 boys. And today they're every one living. And Wallace, the one that they called Slick, he visited me about 2 days ago, and he was down here, working down here in Corpus. So he's the one that wants these stories. And then the next one in line was me, was Pauline Fricks. And I married a Fricks, Duffy Fricks. And so I had some children, and so I got a bunch of grandchildren, a bunch of this, and so I'm getting pretty old. Sitting here trying to tell on this and whatever this is, and I'm getting pretty old, and I have my home down in South Texas, down on the bay, and it's cool down here all the time, and I have a bunch of children. And then the next one then was Susie, younger than me, was named Susie. And Susie lived to be about 15 years old, and she died. Susie died. And then the next one was Kate and Catherine. Catherine, and we called her Kate, and Kate lived about that 15, and she died. Kate died. And then I had a little brother, smaller brother named Louis, and died when he was about 11 or 12 years old. And then that was all of them. And Kate was the baby. And
Louis was the baby.
No,
Kate was a baby.
Kate was the youngest when she was a baby. And so she never married, and Susie never married, and Charlie never married,